News from the Krabby Coffee Shop is brought to you by aimhighconstructionmn.com.
Welcome to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop with your host, Don McLean, from Jason and Alexis in the Morning on My Talk 107.1, Garage Logic's newsman, Mr. FYI, John Hite, and the crabbiest guy in the coffee shop, Kenny Olson.
We'll let this play out till the end. We need every minute we...
We do. Yeah. Wow. Need a minute.
Here's my list. Elvis, the Beatles, Cats, Ross, Ross's psycho hamster, stories we didn't get to, a McDonald's bomb, a guitar playing kid is shot, get lost vacation. Dawn really, really loves the government. I talked S about Dawn when she was away and with a working vacation. What
wow.
Do you want to jump into first?
I want to hear about those hamsters, personally.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's Ross, you told this story off the air after the show, and we immediately jumped up your backside for not sharing this on the air. Yeah. And I don't know, we were talking about cats or something, and we do have a story today about cats and how they're all psycho, and I don't think that's breaking any new news. I think everybody knows cats, even the gentle, loving cats, are psycho. But you told a story, and if I remember right, you were sent home over vacation, summer or Christmas, with a hamster or two.
Yeah, summer vacation in seventh grade. This would have been late 90s.
Don't tell us what year.
Early 2000s.
Young, impressionable youth.
And I think, how did we get on this topic? Was it raccoons? Oh, it was Dawn's kittens.
Oh,
I think that's
God,
how we got
garage cats.
This topic with Dawn's garage cats. So seventh grade, at the end of seventh grade, going into eighth grade, the seventh grade science teacher has a bunch of animals, reptiles, things that she watches all summer long or all school year long. People need to watch them in the summer.
She's a psycho.
Yeah, so people sign
up. Totally.
People sign up to take things home. I originally signed up for one hamster.
Yeah.
But then was told, oh, just please take two. Either, and I don't remember at the time what I was told. I don't remember if I was told I was getting two female hamsters or two male hamsters.
Right.
But long story short on that part, I got a female and a male hamster. And there's one easy way to know this.
Yeah.
Normally, yeah.
The hamster, one of them, had babies.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, well, hello.
Do you know about private parts, little, Ross? Yeah. That's another way.
Little bomb chicka wow wow going down in the hamster cage.
Oh.
So, again, I don't know anything about hamsters other than you just clean the cage, feed them. Nobody ever told me the mother is super protective of the young.
Yeah?
So protective of the young, apparently, that to keep the father at bay and to protect her young, she will eat the heads off of her babies.
Oh my God. They had to have been from Arkansas.
So
this is like an old abuser line. I punch you in the face because I love you. This is not being protective, Ross. This is being psychotic.
I mean,
this...
we talk about cats being psycho. Hamsters are freaking psycho.
That's...
Imagine... So I go one day to clean...
Oh,
this is so bad. I'm traumatized to this day. Yet I'm so traumatized. I'm laughing about it.
Yeah, that's
I go
what we
to
do with
clean
pain.
The hamster cage, and I look in there, and there are literally parts of baby hamsters.
Yeah,
strewn all over the place.
Oh, keep talking. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Awful. And at the time, I call my dad in there, and I'm like,
"What did he say?"
Yeah, I'm like, Dad, you got to check this out. I'm pretty sure the hamsters are eating each other.
I think
it was basically BS. They're not eating each other, followed by, holy!
Yeah.
You know, when he looked in there.
Oh, no.
So what did you do then? Did you separate the two hamsters or did you just send them both to heaven?
I think.
What did you do?
I think I know what we ended up doing at one point was we ended up just taking all of them to Petco. All the ones that were left. And Petco at the time would take them. I don't know if they still do. But I think
they go, sure, we'll have yeah, a, this is free food it, for our snakes.
I said, would you like a would you like a hamster that should be serving time in jail for murdering her
yeah,
children?
No kidding. We know where she's going.
And the father. I think we took them there. I think honestly, sadly, and this is to me kind of sad.
Yeah.
I think all the babies were dead.
Yeah.
I think they were all dead.
Yeah.
Traumatizing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely traumatizing. And as long as we're down this path, let me tell one more quick story, okay?
Oh, please. We don't want to talk today anyway.
Stretch it out, Ross. Make it last.
I'm a neat freak, as I think everybody around here at least kind of knows.
Okay.
I don't care about other people's stuff. Like, if I go over to Kenny's place, John's place, Don's place, and it's dirty, doesn't faze me.
Right.
My stuff, my car, my home, my desk has to be clean, okay?
Yeah.
So years ago, and I'm going to the illustrious Brown College, this is probably 2007-ish.
Uh-huh.
I'm driving home one day, and I'm eating a couple Reasons, you know, the candies Reasons, those chocolate-covered things.
What are you, 90?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
I also routinely fall asleep to Everybody Loves Raymond at night, but that's a different story. Deborah! I leave the... It's fall. It's like fall, early winter. I leave the Reasons on the passenger seat. Okay? Next morning I come out, the bag of Reasons is now on the floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I literally right away went,
yeah,
that's odd. I didn't put them there.
Uh-oh.
And I haven't moved. Like, I didn't drive the car anywhere. And I'm living at home at the time.
Right.
Okay, that's odd.
That sounds unreasonable.
I like what you did there. Driving home from the illustrious Brown College the next day.
Points deducted for that joke, Don.
I'm driving. I think I might have the window down a little bit. I got my hand on the armrest.
God, what happened?
I just happened to look over and standing in the cup holder, vermin.
A mouse?
A mouse.
Uh-huh.
A mouse just staring at me. It's like this, just staring at me. You guys can see.
Oh,
and
no.
It didn't even register right away, right? I'm like, oh. And then about a split second later, like as I'm driving down the road. So again, I get home, and I'll never forget this story. This next part is insane. So again, I get home. Pops, I got mice in my car.
Yeah.
Bull crap, your car's immaculate. You don't have mice in your car.
Yeah, it's sealed up tight.
I'm like, no, 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 I do. I know, I saw it. He's like, nah, you're making stuff up. I said, no, there's a mouse somewhere in
there. By the way, I know your dad, he was smoking a cigar during this conversation.
Yeah, he was probably wearing faded red shorts and a NASCAR t-shirt.
Yeah. So, and he called you an F-bomb, too.
So he comes outside, and we start looking through the car. And we're tearing it apart because now he's kind of convinced. I've shown him the Reasons, which, by the way, two of the Reasons have like little gnaw marks on them.
Yeah,
so they've been chewed on. So he knows.
Yeah.
And he can't make sense of it because, again, my car is super clean.
Yeah.
So we're picking everything apart. Finally pulls out the back seat. Right. You can remove the back seat.
I'm
That's
terrified.
Where the spare tire is.
There's a family in there.
There's a family of mice in
Holy
the car.
Lee. Cow.
It's a mom and like 8 or 9 mice that look like baby piglets because
that's what baby rabbits look like.
They're so tidy. So Pops's brilliant idea is he's just like me. Yeah. I can't kill a fly. Nicest guy in the world.
What?
Maybe loves the colorful language, but a nice guy.
What? Are you telling me you relocated mice? Ross, you're fired.
This is where the story gets insane. Pops grabs literally a tongs that were never to be used again.
Right.
And a cup. Scoops up all the babies and the mom. Brings them across the street to a field.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And we're now just kind of talking in the driveway like, wow, that was kind of some weird S. Who would ever know that would happen?
Yeah.
Any ideas what happened next?
They came running back across the street.
Mom.
And got run over.
Mom?
Or
no, mom comes running across the street.
No, she's dumb.
Baby in mouth.
No.
Back up the tire and into the car. We were dying of laughter.
Oh, like, my
so
God.
That
she's like, this is my home.
Furious, but also like, okay, that's comical.
Oh.
But then that convinced you had to do the Lord's work and send them home.
You know, from that point, it's all blurry. I don't know what happened from that point on.
Story without an end.
I don't know if we took a hammer to him or
no, you didn't.
Or if, I think Pops drove him a few miles and dumped him somewhere.
Yeah, he scooped him on back up.
Okay. Let me do this very quickly, and then I promise you I'm done for the show.
We don't mind.
Keep talking.
Please.
I move out to lovely winter South Dakota for my first big-time radio job. South Central South Dakota, North Central Nebraska's Magic 93.
Home of the hits.
Home of the hits. They're all home of the hits.
Right.
So I'd say the following summer, driving around in my car in winter South Dakota. And now once you know what a mouse smells like, you know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm driving in my car, and I go, smells like mice.
Yep. Mm.
So I go, and I get some traps, and just put traps in the car, right?
Right. Yeah.
Ones that I don't have to see. That
This doesn't sound
actually,
very magical.
Live mice doesn't really bug me that much. Yeah. Dead mice, that's creepy, that's nasty, that's disgusting. I want nothing
really?
To do with it.
Oh, yeah, really?
Nothing.
Oh, gross. I'm the opposite.
Kenny wants to be surrounded by dead mice.
So it's preferable.
Put a trap in the car, and about 2-3 days later, I get in the car on a hot summer day. It's like 95 degrees. Literally smells like a dead body in my car.
Oh, yeah. I know
I'm
that
like,
smell.
Worst smell.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, we got a dead one. So I then drive down to Mel's Automotive in lovely winter South Dakota. I say, Mel, you got to help me out.
Oh, my God. Let's call him right now. And
don't fuss or cuss. Call us.
Mel's like,
don't fuss or cuss.
Mel's like, there's really not a lot you can do. Once that smell's in there, they know it's a safe haven for them.
Right. It is.
That's why they're coming back.
That is, yeah.
But he goes through, he does his best to, you know, patch it up and find anything where they could be coming through, tells me dryer sheets and Febreze.
They don't love that. Doesn't work. Yeah.
It worked for me, but I've heard of multiple people that have said, no, it doesn't work.
Same with the green. What is the green soap? Irish Spring?
Irish Spring.
So, shave it off with a potato shaver. They'll actually eat it. They don't mind that.
Really? Okay. Yeah, the part of the story that will always be funny to me is I made my coworker at the time, very good gentleman, his name was Ben. I made Ben go out to the car one time when I got another dead one because I didn't even want to touch the trap that I couldn't see, right?
Yeah.
So Ben goes outside, and this is Main Street, Winter, South Dakota, where there's a church on Main Street, there's bars, it's the radio station, everything.
Is it called Winter Haven or Winter, South Dakota?
Winter, South Dakota, opposite of loser.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay.
As in, Kenny is a winner.
Uh-huh.
Right. Of course he is.
So Ben goes out there one day. When I'm like, Ben, there's an awful smell. I got another one. You got to help me. Ben goes out there, literally like almost starts dry heaving as he goes to grab it.
Ugh.
And he doesn't know where to throw it. There's no trash can. So he's yelling at me from like a half a block away to come get this thing right out of his hand. And I'm like, I'm not touching it. Honestly, church is letting out 25 feet away, and I got Ben in Main Street, Winter, South Dakota.
Oh, no.
Boof! That's what they call me in South Dakota, boof.
Boof.
Boof! Boof. He had kind of a bit of a southern drawl. This is your effing car! This is your effing dead mouse! Except he's using the real word. And here come like the middle school children out the door.
No.
My God.
So in my life, I have had hamsters eat their children, and I have had mice in my car twice in a calendar year. And
you're clean.
And honestly, I had forgotten about both of these stories until last week. So I'm not actually sure that this podcast is good for my mental health. And I will be taking...
You're not the only one,
you
Ross.
Don't even dare get up, because guess who has to produce then? Me.
I will be taking an immediate leave of absence from the Krabby News from the Krabby Coffee Shop.
You could have left them, because mice will eat other dead mice.
Oh, will they?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did not
as
know
will
that.
Skunks.
That's disgusting.
A skunk will eat a dead skunk.
We once had a trap out, Kenny, in our kitchen in an old house we had.
Yeah.
Put it behind the oven.
Yeah.
And forgot about it.
Sure.
The the mouse died. And, you know, and we kept smelling this awful smell. Yeah, we looked all over the house, didn't remember we put it there.
Yeah.
When we finally found it, no mice had eaten it. It had turned basically to liquid.
Well, that's good. That means there's no more mice in the house, right?
Oh, it was awful.
Wow.
I also had a whole family, too, like Ross's experience there, in a lawn chair in my in the back shed.
Yeah.
We bought these nice lawn chairs, and they fold up. So I put them there for winter. Spring, pulled it out, opened it up. There's a mom and eight babies just sitting there feeding, shall we say.
Gross.
Scared the living hell out of me.
Gross.
I, of course, jumped 100 feet in the air and ran to my wife and said, "We got a bunch of mice here. I can't kill them. Can you?" And she took a shovel and killed them. So.
Have you ever heard a mouse scream? They will scream.
No, really?
Yeah, yeah. They when an animal eats them or they get caught in a trap and their head isn't, you know, their neck isn't snapped, they'll sit there and scream, and it's a frightening, disgusting, creepy
sound. Is it loud or just high pitched?
No, it's not loud. They're a mouse.
Well, that's why I asked.
But you hear them. Yeah, you hear them.
Huh.
I love that you talked about running to your wife. There's a story in my family, must be from sometime in the 80s or early 90s. There was a bat in the basement of our house.
Oh,
okay, God, I did battle with a bat right here at this office
and
6 months ago.
Ooh. Really?
Really?
Ooh. Yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah.
Ooh. And the story in my house goes, both my dad and late mother hightailed it out of the basement upstairs, closed the door.
Uh-huh.
My father then immediately called his 75, 80-year-old mother, who lives three towns away.
Oh my
gosh. You got to come over right now.
Who drove down with a racket to take care of the bat because neither of my parents would. That's an age-old story that we talk about all the time.
I understand that. I do not cope with bats well. And it was the early morning. It was still dark out. The office, the light in the hallway was on. The door was open, and I was doing something. And it's like, did a bird just fly by? What the hell? And I stuck my head out in the hallway, and there's a bat hanging from the ceiling down at the end of the hall.
Oh, cool.
And every now, cool.
I love bats.
Are you kidding
me?
It's
a flying rat.
It's so cool.
If those things bite you, you've got like minutes to live.
They're
that's
bite you.
That's like instant death.
How
like
many you turn people into a have vampire. You known have been bitten by a bat?
Well, they're no longer alive to talk about it, McLean.
Oh, no one. They don't want to bite you. They have sonar. They just go over your head. They're like,
they try to avoid you, is what I've always heard, Kenny.
Yeah. Well, he was coming right at me.
He was attacking.
Thankfully, I had a broom here. And so, you know, I'm swatting and swinging and cursing and yelling. And then it occurs to me, oh, it's bright in here. They don't like light. And why don't you open the door? So I opened the back door to go outside. I turned off the light, closed my office door, and 10 minutes later it was gone.
There you go.
That's the end of that's my happy bat story.
That's great.
And I get yelled at home for, you know, not liking bats. And she even suggests that we put up bat houses.
Yeah.
That's great.
And my question is, well, the bats have been doing pretty good without the bat houses. Do we really need to do bat houses? Same with birds.
How do you do a bat house?
It's just a box with a box like the size of an old phone book with just a slit open so they can slide in there and hang in there.
Oh, cool.
But what's the point? They're
hangers?
No, you don't do anything in it, I don't think.
You don't put little sticks for them to hang off of?
I don't think so.
I mean, they can't just grab onto it. Nothing, right?
Well, they got sticky feet, don't they?
No.
Huh?
Right?
I don't know. I don't know anything about bats.
You ever
Ross, but you hate them.
Ross, you know the roommate. You know my roommate, right?
I do, yep.
So we have a camper out by a lake. And
this one.
And no, I'm not telling that story. Although I think I've actually told that on GL.
I told Don
the story about my trail cam that I pointed at the camper, and I caught myself grilling with no pants
on. God, yeah.
No pants. And I was like, wait a minute. So you said just a t-shirt, and I said, well, you mean you had underwear on? You're like, no.
Just a t-shirt.
Just a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you're Porky Pig in it.
Yeah, like Donald Duck or Porky Pig. Right. One night we go to bed, and she says to me, just as calm as you could possibly be, a mouse just ran across my face.
My face!
Yeah.
My face!
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Laying in bed, a mouse ran across her face. I got up and spent the night in the truck.
You just left her in there.
Yeah. She's very calm about it, and to this day, it really doesn't bother her that much. I found that very, very upsetting.
You ever heard of, like, impetigo?
Yeah.
You can get that from mice. You get these red welts and nasty spots on your body.
Yeah, happened, evil little bastards.
Happened to a family member of mine. I got startled by a dead bat when I was schlepping radio in lovely New Prague, Minnesota. I was driving down the road one day and thought I had a leaf stuck on my windshield wiper.
It was a bat.
Oh, and I stopped to get groceries. And I went over. I'm like, oh, let me just get this leaf. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, now you've reminded me, you know, sliding barn doors, a door that instead of swinging open, slides open?
Yeah. Yep.
Sure.
I open a sliding barn door, and one fell from the tracks and landed on my head.
Well, no wonder you hate them. That's the problem there.
God, I'd pay $500 to see that.
God, you guys are creeps. It was seriously disturbing. Get on the list right now. I'm talking about Aim High and Construction, MN.com. These guys are the best, and they can tackle just about any construction job you need doing, from simple remodels to windows, siding, roofing, or a full brand new house, commercial. Doesn't matter. Aim High Construction, they can do it all, and they'll help you with design consultation if you're thinking about a new kitchen but don't know where to go or what to do, if you want to finish off that basement but you're not quite sure about what you want. They can help you with that. They're a full-service construction company. They're obsessed with quality craftsmanship and honest service, and they've been with us on GL for quite a while, and that means they are booked solid. So if you're thinking about a job next spring, now is the time to call them, get on the list, get the conversation started. And I've used them. This is one of the companies that I've used, and I'm very, very happy with the results. They remodeled our kitchen and did a whole bunch of brand new deck and a bunch of other stuff at our home in Minneapolis, and they really forced that equity up. Chris is the owner. He's a great guy. Make sure when you contact him, tell him you're a GLer or a My Talker. You listen to the Krabby Show. And again, the website to get a hold of him, aimhighconstructionmn.com. So, Jason Matheson from the Jason and Alexis Show on My Talk makes Dawn and I promote the podcast on the air. And as you can guess, John, it never really goes very well unless Dawn just handles it, because she's a pro. I'm not necessarily. And Dawn brought up this morning wondering if we wanted to talk about this Beatles documentary, Let It Be.
Oh, right.
Did you finish it, John?
I still haven't seen part three.
Tell us
why. I saw one and two.
Tell us why.
Because my wife and I are watching it together, so I don't want to jump the gun and watch part three before she does. Is that okay? Is she okay with you?
Do you have one of those cages on right now? Are you wearing a cage thing in your swimsuit area?
We rarely watch things together. And this was just one thing to watch together. Now, I do plan, once we are done watching it, I'm going to sit by myself and watch it all the way through very loudly so I get all the nuance of everything.
Why don't you do that now and then rewatch?
Just lie? Yeah.
Don't tell her. Just be like, and then if she says, why do you know this, or you mess it up, say, I am an entertainer and I have to talk about things on my podcast, and I needed it for show prep.
Or I could just say I know everything about the Beatles. So,
do that, Dawn? Are there shows that you and MC will not watch apart? You have to watch together.
Yeah.
Really?
See, Kenny?
I mean,
it's not just me.
Yeah.
Dawn, do you know about what I had going on in Minneapolis, where I had basically my own office room area in the basement? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, the roommate and I, we would be watching the same show in different parts of the house, and we'd just text each other about what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's great. I used to do that. Well, when I had coronavirus, we had to be separated.
Yeah.
He was downstairs living. He has his office, and it's a finished basement, so yeah. No problem. But we would do Hulu watch party.
Yeah.
And it's like you can watch something together, and then you can text to the side. We were just yelling and screaming.
I think the key to a very healthy relationship is to spend as much time apart as possible. That's what keeps it strong.
You know what? That's probably not too far from the truth.
Have you reached the point of separate vacations yet?
No.
Oh, my God. They're so awesome. Oh, let me tell you. But anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about, wow. John, was something with the Beatles. And they didn't really bring Elvis up, not that I can remember at all. Maybe they did and I missed it. They do play Blue Suede Shoes, but that wasn't Elvis did that song, but wasn't that was...
Carl Perkins wrote
it. Perkins song.
Yeah.
And I don't know, did Ross send me this or did I stumble upon it myself? The Beatles both, Lennon and McCartney both agreed that, and the headline is what got me. Ross did send this to me. The Army killed Elvis. Yeah.
That's a really common idea, I guess, opinion amongst a lot of rockers and a lot of rock historians, if you will, that once he went in the Army, for all intents and purposes, his rock and roll attitude left, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I think there's good music after that in late 60s, but the whole point being the attitude, the rock and roll attitude and everything was just kind of, washed out of him.
What was he about? Did he have a low number? Was he about to be drafted? Why did he go in?
He did have to go in, yes. I think he got drafted because they didn't have a number system yet then, I don't think.
Okay.
I think it worked in a different way at that point, and he did get drafted. So I don't know. That's why he joined the Army. And, of course, Colonel Tom Parker, his manager, said, let's do this. It'll be, great for the image and,
Don, are you at all familiar with the Colonel Tom Parker Elvis situation?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of what Britney went through, you'd think, when Elvis passed away, that phenomenon or whatever it is would have ended, but it could possibly still be going on this very day with some artists, and I think Britney,
definitely.
I think, was a good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
John, why did Elvis allow that to go on? I mean, he was obviously very talented. Why did he let that happen?
I think he just went with the flow and thought it'll make him famous, make him money. He had offers to work movies that ended up incredibly big. Colonel Tom Parker wouldn't allow. He was supposed to play the Kris Kristofferson character in the 70s version of A Star Is Born.
Really?
Colonel Tom Parker said,
Why?
I have no idea. I have no idea what his reasoning was, but there were other offers also. And the music all was guided after he came back out of the Army by Colonel Tom Parker, who got a bunch of music from different songwriting groups and picked the songs for Elvis. Elvis didn't pick them again until late in the 60s when he did the stuff in Memphis and Nashville, and those turned out to be really good records.
Yeah.
And then after that, Elvis just quit. Basically, and was the big guy in the spangled suit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was he being controlled through pharmaceuticals?
Oh.
Well, he did a lot of pharmaceuticals.
Well,
yeah.
Downers, and you got to go to this. You got to take an upper. Now we got to wind down at night. Take a downer.
Don, it sounds like you read the same book I did, and I think the guy's name was Albert Goldman. Did he do an
Goldman.
Elvis book? Where, Don, what you said is exactly the same, especially for those Vegas shows. Give him an upper to get up, and then he's up for the show. Yeah. And then as soon as the show is over, on the way to the airplane, give him a downer.
Yeah.
He lays down in bed. They put a seatbelt on him, and they put him away like a toy or a tool at the end of a work day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you've seen That's the Way It Is, I think, is the one film. It's a concert film when he's on tour. And he looks
so wasted after shows.
He's
so out of it. It's so sad. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Just looks horrible.
Here's something that I probably haven't said before. Maybe I have on the show. But I am an official Graceland-sanctioned Elvis tribute artist judge.
Are you kidding me?
I had to take a test and everything.
Dawn, early in my career, it would have been the early 90s, a book came out called I Am Elvis. And it was a book that featured three pages maybe on every single Elvis impersonator they could round up.
Wow.
And the guy was working with Bob Yates at the time. We had on as many of those Elvis impersonators as we possibly could, including a guy, if I remember right, was his name. He was like the Spanish or Mexican Elvis called Elvez.
Oh, yeah.
Elvez.
I know who that is. I don't know him personally, but I do know who that is. Yeah.
How did this happen, Dawn?
Well, how did I end up doing this?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a Legends Theater in Branson.
Yeah.
And,
of course there is.
Yes, and it also has a Dick Clark American Bandstand like cafe associated with it. So it's all one thing. And I was asked to, you know, I used to do Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was asked to be a judge. And they're like, okay, because they do, Graceland just has one competition that is sanctioned by them. Yeah. Across the country, and then they have their national competition each year.
Yeah.
And but you have to go through a test to be able to be a judge. And so they asked me if I wanted to, because I've always been fascinated with Elvis. Love Elvis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to study up on it, and you have to know a lot of Elvis stuff and all of his songs, and know what they're doing and what makes one different from the other. And it's been a number of years, so don't quiz me on that. But I think I the best one that I know of, he's actually probably still in Branson, but he won one year. His name is Dean Z.
Yeah,
he plays he's a young Elvis, which you rarely get those.
Right, you get Vegas Elvis a lot.
You regularly get the big Elvis, the spangled suits, those guys. He is phenomenal. He sounds just like him. He looks just like him. And it will give you chills. Dean Z is his name. And he's got a great voice. He'll come out in the Army uniform. And he does all kinds of great costume changes. And I would highly recommend.
Until I met you, I never thought that I ever wanted to go to Branson. I thought, that's got to be the redneck ground zero, worst place in the world to possibly go. And now I think I got to go there next summer. I think I've got to drive down to Branson.
Now back to bats. Let me tell you something. But there's a huge cave there. I told you about this on the other show.
We're not going.
Oh my gosh! You have to go to the Marble
I'm not going cave. In a cave. I'm not going
John,
in a cave.
John, let me tell you about this cave. Okay?
Yes.
A theme park was built around it. It was discovered in the 1800s by two women. And they dropped a pebble down this hole and didn't, you know, they dropped a rock. They didn't hear the end of it. But that's the first part of the cave tour. The main room that you go into, they actually lowered themselves on ropes with lanterns to get down there. Okay. The main room, you can fly three hot air balloons inside.
Holy moly.
And it's as tall. You can fit the Statue of Liberty inside this main room tilted. Yeah, it's incredible. Okay. And then you go through the whole cave. There are bats everywhere.
Oh.
There's a big old guano part of it where they're all just, they really like thousands and thousands. It's like the largest bat population outside of the one in Austin.
So there's got to be guano everywhere, like falling on your head.
There is. And one of the early explorers, it doesn't fall on your head, but one of the early explorers made it all the way back through this huge room in the cave. And the reason why it's called Marvel Cave is because they thought that the top of it was marble. And so they brought all these marble miners down there, and they found out it was limestone. But he dropped rocks over the side of this grand room that looks like a shoe print. And he didn't hear it drop either, but that's because it was landing in so much bat guano that no rock could make a sound, and that's what they started mining out of there.
Well, that's a gold mine. Yeah, that's gold. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, and just, you know, barrels and barrels of that stuff they hauled out of there.
Yeah.
Don, John is acting like he's interested and fascinated, but
I can guarantee you.
Great. Yeah. I love that. Feign interest. I do it every day.
don't. Ross, you're going to cut that part out. You got to save us. But what I was going to tell you is there's no chance he's going in there. John's got to deal with small spaces.
Oh, I wouldn't go in there. No, not a chance. Not a chance.
Yeah.
No. But it's fascinating. I mean, I can visualize it, and I think it's,
Yeah, it's
fascinating
great.
That way.
It's wonderful. I used to
You know what I just realized? Apropos of nothing, I'm wearing my official Elvis Presley Graceland hoodie today.
No.
Have either one of you been there?
Look at the back.
That is cool.
It's got the Sun label to That's All Right, Mom on the back.
Oh,
and Elvis
Sun Records.
Yeah, Sun Records. And it's got his autograph on the front.
What's that? What's that cost you?
Actually, it was only about $35-$40.
You should get me that for Christmas. 3XL.
Well, he'd have to.
I have to get you something for Christmas.
Well, yeah, that'd be nice.
I don't think I do.
Would you like a couple of hamsters for Christmas?
Did you? Either one of you answer? Have either one of you been to Graceland?
Yeah.
I have not.
You have not, John?
I've not.
Well, how'd you get that hoodie then?
You can order it online. Presley Enterprises, I think, is the website.
Have you been to Memphis, John?
I haven't.
Oh.
I would love to go to Memphis. I want to go to Memphis. I want to go to Nashville. Haven't been to either one. Mm. Someday I have to.
That should be our driving tour. We got to go to Branson and then do a swing down south and cover both of those cities.
See, you had no interest in Branson before you met Dawn, but I've always found it, I thought the idea would be fascinating just to see what it's like.
Oh, I'm seeing hillbillies and bib overalls with no shoes or socks on.
Well, no, that's not, but they do have that whole culture. Like, that's used in all the hillbilly stuff.
Guys selling shine out of the back of a truck and behind a gas station.
Yeah, all those tchotchkes, any place you go in that has souvenirs, you've got hillbilly everything. You know, the country stars go there and they have theaters. Like Andy Williams had a big theater. I worked there for a while. You had Boxcar Willie.
He passed away. King of the hits. Yeah.
You have Yakov Smirnoff has a theater.
How'd that happen? He's not funny.
Well, he is to Branson people, I guess. And then you've got like
what
magicians.
A country.
Oh God. Yeah, you've got a lot of country stars that go down there to, they built big theaters. There's huge music. If you're into country music at all, you will like it.
And, John, something I don't understand, one of the biggest Titanic museums in the world is there.
Yes, so a family.
Titanic Museum?
The ship. Really?
There's
a
family who.
Missouri.
Who bought all of the memorabilia, okay? And they have two museums. One is in near Dollywood, I believe. And then they have another one in Branson. And the front of the museum is the replica of the front of the ship.
Huh.
And then it is such a fascinating place because you see, like, here are plates from somebody's trunk that they had, the rich people.
Yeah,
it's like they brought their china with them. They have, like, here's an original menu from the night it sank, and it's, like, in glass. You have all of these accounts from people that are, they did a great job recording audio of people who survived and their accounts. It'll make you cry. Just listening to what they have to say. Oh, my gosh. And just, fascinating.
Huh.
Highly recommend. You have to go to the Titanic Museum if you're ever in Branson.
Hmm.
Yep.
What happened to Elvis? How did he end up in the White House with Richard Nixon with a pair of revolvers and becoming the drug czar, whatever? John, do you know the backstory there, how that came about?
Well, he made a statement about, I don't think
the
it was
Beatles.
Specifically about the Beatles. Was it specifically?
Yeah, they're like, you're un-American or something?
Yeah, because of drugs and because they use drugs and the whole culture.
And you're like, you're on drugs right now.
You're so high, Elvis.
Yeah, what are you doing?
The photos of him with Nixon, his eyes. are incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. It's just
Oh, he'd
amazing.
Go right to the back seat of the trooper's car. They wouldn't even do the test on him.
No. No. I mean, they were exactly so dilated and red and just
so.
Oh,
did he
guy.
Show up unannounced or was this a meeting?
I don't think you can show up unannounced to the White House.
I think it was arranged, yeah.
Unless it was like back in the time of Abe Lincoln, then you could just go up there. You could just go up and go, I want to talk to the president. And he'd go, okay.
Well, that's when they had cows out in the front yard.
That's true.
But Nixon seemed to enjoy the meeting, did he not? I don't know.
He's smiling in the picture. I don't know, shaking his hand and going, how you doing?
This had to be a Colonel Tom Parker thing, right?
I'm sure. Well, possibly.
Yeah. Anyway, one of the pieces I read this morning, and it was either McCartney or Lennon, referred to Elvis as a plonker. P-L-O-N-K-E-R, a plonker.
Is that a British thing?
I don't know what it means, but
oh,
I'm going
to
start.
Find out. I'm surprised I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to start fitting that one in because I love using wanker. So plonker is my next one. You bloody plonker.
They have so many great like slang terms. You think they're stupid if you call someone a plonker.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what both McCartney and Lennon were talking about in these pieces, that they really loved the early Elvis, but that the Elvis that showed up after the Army wasn't the same guy, and the Elvis in Vegas was just awful, awful. And they said they made an allusion, or they alluded to the fact that Elvis was playing Vegas just to pay off Colonel Tom Parker's gambling debts. Have you ever heard that before?
Ooh.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that either, but that would explain a few things, maybe.
I got to tell you, as a kid, my first favorite song in the whole wide world was, I think it was on a B-side. It was an Elvis song, and it was, if you're looking for trouble, you come to the right place. Hound Dog Blues? Is it Hound Dog?
No, the name of that is Evil. That's
yeah,
because
I'm evil. My middle name is Misery.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I always thought that was
a great song.
Yeah, best song I had ever heard.
That's from King Creole, the only Elvis movie that is watchable.
Oh, they're so bad. He even did a cowboy movie, and I thought, okay, this will be good. No, it was awful.
My favorite Elvis, my favorite Elvis movie is Roustabout. It is so stupid. Have you ever seen it? It's like about a traveling motorcycle rider. He does these evil Knievel stunts inside a wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
I've
seen that one.
Oh, my gosh. John has probably, look, he's going to get the actual motorcycle.
Now that he doesn't have his headphones on, doesn't he kind of remind you of the dude from Big Lebowski, John? He's kind of dressed like, the dude.
And I love Poke Salad Annie.
The other one he was in was the one where he's a race car driver and a singer, both at the same time. Go ahead, John. What do you got?
I just found these the other
day
in
Viva
a box
Las Vegas.
Here. They're all Elvis movies.
Oh,
and
they're all
VHS.
I don't know
what to do with them. We got G.I. Blues, Flaming Star, Wild in the Country, Paradise Hawaiian Style, and Love Me Tender.
Ooh.
They've got to be worth something, right?
VHS, are they? I don't know. They'll probably end up at Goodwill, I'm guessing.
Oh, no.
You can't Goodwill those.
eBay those.
Yeah, just see what happens on eBay.
All right.
Look at that whole room we could eBay. What do we have to do?
Kenny knows this. I am eBaying all my CDs at the moment.
You are?
I'm putting them all on
a
hard drive.
Is it a pain in the ass?
It's not what I've been doing. No, it's because it takes 2 seconds to list them, 2 seconds to sell them, and 5 minutes to drive to the post office.
Okay.
You'll be sorry.
Not CDs. No.
No, you'll be sorry.
When I got rid of all my LPs, 10 years later, I was sorry. I wish I hadn't done that.
Oh, that hurts me.
Yeah. Well, and now, of course, full circle, I'm back to collecting LPs. So
anyway, I was going to say, in the early 70s, my mom would let me stay up so we could watch, and I think it was more than one, the Elvis in Vegas shows, and I just loved those as a kid, and I was really, really devastated when Elvis went face down in the carpet in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of going face down, it's December 8th today.
Yeah, it is.
You know what that is?
Oh, John Lennon.
John Lennon. Yeah.
It's also the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is a holy day of obligation. And I hope Joe Suchere is going to Mass.
Hmm.
Since he told me, and I'm a practicing Catholic. Because I said, oh, I was raised Catholic. I'm Catholic. And he goes, and I practice.
Do you want me to go ask him? He's sitting in the other room.
Oh, my God. Is he? Is he? Oh, my God. He just heard me do an impersonation.
I went out there to cough to not distract you, and I coughed right in his face.
I'm sure so. If you ask him, he'll look at me very sternly and go, yes, I am going to Mass.
We impersonate him right to his face. So okay. Don't worry about it.
All the time. All the time.
Yeah.
It was a very scary moment for me when he yelled, I'm practicing.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a lot into that because.
That was not me. I did not say that.
I think he's one of these Catholics that buys his way out of sin, doesn't he?
Wow.
Buys his way? You mean by lighting candles in the church?
No, there's
just giving him money.
No, you write him a check and then you don't have to do all those Hail Marys. Isn't that how it works?
Oh, gosh.
Go ahead, Ross.
There was one show that. I know you were on. I'm not sure if you were on this one, John, where I was literally cutting up some audio for the show, for the socials, and just cackling at my desk in laughter when Such was boasting about having inside paying privileges at a few gas stations. Yeah. You're not supposed supposed to be able to pay in cash inside.
Right.
But he can because they know he's not using a card.
Right. The famous
he doesn't use a card anywhere?
No, God no. He doesn't. No, he's never been to a cash machine in his life.
He's never used in his ATM. He told us
what?
One day. No. Never used an ATM card.
No. And the famous
because he doesn't want to be tracked. I'm interested in this.
No, he's just a cranky old guy that doesn't he deals with
cash
and checks.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. But my favorite Such Catholic story is the one where he's out for a walk and the urge hit him. And he's, I don't know, he's walking by a church or a school or something.
What kind of urge?
And he went into the building and the sister was there and asked, can I use your bathroom? And, comes out of the bathroom 20, 30 minutes later and says, is there anything I can do for you, sister? And she goes, our plumbing is about to go out. And,
it's
going to cost us $10,000. And I think that 30 minutes cost Joe over a grand.
Yeah.
He wrote her a check.
He's so nice.
No.
What a sweetie. No, that's very nice.
She then took that money and went to Branson.
No, I think they actually got things fixed up thanks to old sinful Joe. You know what we didn't get to is I was talking S about you on either Thursday or Friday of last week, Dawn, when you flew to St. Louis for a wedding.
Yeah.
But it was a working vacation. You stayed in a haunted house or mansion, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I stayed in the Lemp Mansion. Lemp. As in Lemp Brewery. Do you remember Lemp Beer?
Nope, never heard of it.
Okay, so they were the original, you know, you have Anheuser-Busch that's, you know, based in St. Louis. And then the Lemp family came over from Germany and figured out, you know, nobody was making lager here. And this guy got rich off of creating lager. And, this is back in, you know, the 1800s. And so then the family grew. They had a huge empire, and they also made Falstaff beer.
Oh, that's one I recognize.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, they had a lot of success in business, but then their family had just tragic things happen. Three of them died by suicide in the house I stayed in. The creator and his son, and then one of the sisters. And then another one of the women in the family died by suicide in another house. Like she lived outside of the home, and she also.
Was it on the property, or was it just further away, or what?
It wasn't on the property, but she also died by suicide.
MC was with you. Did you bring any equipment with?
Of course. I videoed it. I mean.
And?
Yeah, there's a lot of activity there.
Enough to help us kill an hour next week?
Not an hour.
Have you listened to the audio yet?
I haven't. I'm worn out, guys.
Yeah.
It's the end of the year. I'm like, ugh.
That's how I am.
I haven't even listened to the audio from the prison.
Okay. All right.
I'm pretty behind when it comes to that stuff, but it was a lot of fun. We got a lot of visual.
Did they mess with the lights again?
Yeah, I had my whole light display set up and asking specific questions. I had a book that I bought about the Lemp family, and I was reading through it.
Yeah.
And I would mention certain people and certain situations.
Yeah.
I was reading aloud, and they would all light up at once.
Shut up.
No.
Yikes.
Oh.
With certain things.
And you got that on camera?
Mm-hmm.
Don, you're the most messed up person I know.
No, I'm not.
But you're all right, though. But I mean, seriously, there's something's going on with you.
I wish I had more time to try to really focus and try to communicate with the dead. I'm very focused on work, and it's like I cram to like 10 hours of work into six every day, and you have to sort of let your mind be in that kind of space in order to connect, and I can't. I'm so full of just what I have to do next, and I've got to go here and there, and you know what I mean?
You've got to find a way to make that pay. That's it. So that's your gig, Ross.
What's his deal with it? What's he going
to
do?
Yeah, what am I going to do? Figure out how to get...
I don't know. I see your mic light on.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He wanted to say that it's almost over.
No, well, here's what I do have for you. There's a line that I heard one college football coach mention about one of my favorite college football coaches who's certifiably probably crazy.
Okay.
And he said, this coach, Mike, is so kind of insane. You wouldn't institutionalize him, but if he was in an institution,
he couldn't get out.
You probably wouldn't let him
wouldn't
out.
Let him out. Yeah.
That's Don McLean.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. I think
well,
Ross
then I'll
just
have a contest
you.
For Elvis impersonators inside.
We
the
need
facility.
To get Z should be on the pod.
Oh,
we should get the
Dean
Elvis.
Z?
Dean Z.
Oh,
we should get the Elvis
he
impersonator on at some point.
Oh yeah, he probably would.
Well, did you get everything in, John? Don?
Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think we should end this podcast earlier than we have been because I'm the one who has to uncomfortably walk through the Chris Reavers.
Yeah.
Steve Reavers.
Steve Reavers. I like that better than Chris.
Chris Reavers and Soosh are out there just boiling because they aren't able to get into the studio
Poor
yet.
Poor Don has to go to the firing squad for me and say, well, Ross will be in there for a few more minutes.
Yeah.
So. I need you to get comfortable with making these two mad.
No.
Every day I bring Chris to the point where if I were there in person, he would punch me in the face. And then you're a good, you've done your job and you're a good friend. And Such just yells at all of us every day anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so don't worry about
that. He just looks at me over his glasses.
Right.
I'm like, oh,
this should come as no surprise. I think I annoy the heck out of Reavers with the emails that I send him every day because ever get from him is, okay, sure.
Yeah. Keep it up, Ross. Keep
fine.
It up. I would say double down on the emails. Just send him an email asking him how he's doing. But you can hit the music. I think we're done here. And am I even going to try to walk this ramp?
10, 9.
Thank you for listening to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Hope you join us again next week on Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop.
Man.
It's close.
I was counting you down, too.
Thank you. Bye.